Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
We are here on End Times Friday, and this will be airing on the 18th of April, which is actually on these dates, we're pretty close to the dates, actually. So,
right. 18th of April. This is Good Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. We will be, by the way, it's kind of fun, but we have the, after Easter, we have what's called the C12 annual meeting, where they bring their chairs and their members, and about 1,500 people, and we get a chance to, because we're partners with them, we get to help their members and chairs learn more about what we do and how we partner together. So that's going to be a wonderful time, but that's going to be
That's down in Dallas this year, right?
So we were planning, because the boys, you know, are at Baylor, we were planning on going early, going to Easter and with them for in Dallas and then, you know, be at the show. And Aiden, you know, is dating this girl from Wisconsin who's a D1 softball star. So he called us up and said, hey, would you guys be willing to go to Wisconsin for Easter? You know.
Oh, funny.
She's playing a game that weekend, a couple games.
Oh, how fun.
And hey, we could all go, you know. And so, and he already talked to Joshua, and Joshua said, yeah, he can go. And so his parents are going to go, our son and daughter-in-law and Linda are going to go. So we're going to be in Wisconsin on Good Friday, which would be on the 8th day that this is actually being aired. And then we'll be there for Easter, and then we go to Dallas after that. So
wow. Okay. And does she have a good church up there for you guys to plug into for that weekend?
Yeah. So we'll have a good church.
Excellent.
One thing, this is fun that Linda and I do here in Castle Rock, and when there's, you know, there's Palm Sunday, obviously, and then there's, you know, what they call Passion Week. Well, interesting enough, one of the best churches that really get into this celebration and the description and the depth of Palm Sunday is the local Catholic Church.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
And the pastor's terrific and a great, you know, he gives great messages and really points everything to Jesus. So it's kind of cool. But so we go every Palm Sunday. That's where we go to church.
Oh, interesting.
Is
okay.
At this Catholic church. And then you have a whole, they give out verses to, okay, every day read these verses, you know, Passion Week. And if we were going to be here, we actually would go there on, I think, Good Friday. But we're going to be in Wisconsin. So
nice. Our church does all week long during Holy Week, they'll have an extra prayer time. So every day there will be a prayer session at the church that people can go to. That's really cool. And then Good Friday, we have a big worship night and actually kick off a church-wide fast. And then we break the fast at Easter.
Oh, cool.
And so that's a fun, it's just a really moving, neat time as a church, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, you know, as we are talking about End Times Friday, and we've had obviously Eric and Rabbi and Denny on regularly, there's a lot happening right now in Israel. So I wanted to kind of spend today talking a little bit about that, because there's probably some action getting ready against Iran. And I want to set it up a little bit, and then we'll get into to the word, and then we'll talk more about it. But think about what has happened since October 7th of 2023. That's when they were attacked by Hamas.
Right.
Where, you know, 1,500 people were killed. They took 250 hostages. Half of them basically were killed. The rest of them have been released, and there's like 24 or 25 left, which they're trying to hold hostage, literally hostage the world, so that they aren't going to be completely destroyed. But Israel is trying to take care of it. But think about what's happened since then is Israel has neutralized Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the capability at the moment. They lob a few missiles periodically, but they don't really have the ability to attack Israel, because Israel has now neutralized them. destroyed a lot of their arms and a lot of their tunnels. And they've established, and Eric and described this last time, basically a path that goes east and west and north and south where they can travel with their tanks and armies and stuff to keep observing.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't really rearm up. And interesting enough, if you think about a north and south and a east and west, guess what? That's a cross.
Interesting, right?
So they have a cross over Gaza and they do it. And so, and the same thing with Hezbollah. So they neutralize them. They push them back behind what's called the Itani River, which is far enough away that they can't lob short-term missiles into northern Israel. And Israel occupies in Lebanon, north of the Israeli border, to assure that they don't come south again.
Okay.
So they're there and they're doing that. And people are returning back to their homes in northern Israel. Syria, which is, just think of it, another northern border of Israel on the eastern side. And they're next to Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Is Syria went through a regime change. Now, it's from one extreme Muslim group to another. So it's not
right.
Like, but that extreme, that new extreme Muslim group, basically Israel went in, again, did some strategic military action and then established a place in Syria where they're now occupying and making sure and saying, you know, you it would not be a good idea for you to build up and try to attack us, even though that's their mentality. And because they're trying to get their own government together, they basically said, yeah, we won't at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got peace. And the other interesting action is actually, it's called the West Bank. And it's actually east of Jerusalem.
But it's between, west of Jordan, right?
It's west of Jordan. That's why it's called the West Bank. And between Jordan and Jerusalem, that's been very, very quiet for many, many years. But because of the activity there, they're trying to, the Muslim Brotherhood and the Palestinian Authority is trying to gain some strength against Israel. But Israel preempted that and said, you know, they went in and said, look, don't do it. And we're peaceful at the moment, and why don't you just stay that way?
Mm-hmm.
If not, you know, we're going to come after you. So it's kind of peaceful. So think of what's happened in, you know, a year and a half. Israel has established basically a semi-peace of every country around them because nobody is able to attack them because they neutralized them all.
Mm.
So it's remarkable. Now, we know that, you know, think of the Houthis in there, by the way, in northern Africa. So they're a threat. But they're taking care of those guys too. So all of these different Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, they're all what's called proxies for Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is what's behind it all.
Right.
Because they have the power, they have the money, they have the ability to basically direct everybody to attack Israel. And they happen to be the proxies or the ones that are next to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Iran, remember, is on the other side of
slightly
Iraq.
Removed. Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're like 600-700 miles away. They can lob long-term missiles, but they can't do any short-term missiles. Mm-hmm. And they generally don't because they have all these proxies. Well, they've been developing the nuclear weapon,
mm-hmm.
a bomb. And if they get a hold of one and can launch it, they're going to try to attack against Israel. And even if Israel could destroy the bomb in the air, the fallout, the radiation,
mm-hmm.
if it covered Israel, would basically, you know, destroy the people of Israel. So then, see, we look at it. So we say, okay, that's possible. But we look at it and say, well, wait a minute. What does the scripture say? And as we're talking about the end and we're talking about what's going to happen, we know that Israel is not destroyed.
Right.
And therefore, they're protected in some way.
It is kind of nice to know the ending, right?
Yeah. And so even with this threat where they're getting ready to maybe launch a nuclear weapon, we know, well, it doesn't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's absolute in Scripture. And the only question we have is how does Israel, you know, protect itself and prevent Iran from doing an action like that, which would be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they do it and they, you know, they can destroy the weapon because of radiation. They have to make sure it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what the implication is that, particularly with Trump now supporting Israel, that Netanyahu and Trump are planning to do something against the nuclear weapons over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some information about that, but I'd like to start with a scripture that describes what God is doing that we can count on. And the only question is, well, then how does that play out? And so as we think about the end, a lot of people say, gee, I wonder what's going to happen. Interesting enough, we actually know what's going to happen. And we back up from there and say, well, we know what's going to happen. So then as we back it up into our day and we have a situation like the Iran nuclear weapon, okay, what's going to happen? Well, we know something is going to happen that neutralizes that.
Right.
And so we're going to look at that, and we'll ask Eric and Rabbi and Denny when we have them on next, because they'll know more about that. Mm-hmm. And maybe something would have already happened by then, but we're going to just talk about that. So read, first of all, go to Zechariah chapter 12 and read verses 1-9.
The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Yeah. So in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, when it says in that day, he's talking about the end.
Okay.
So that in the end, he's going to destroy all the nations. Okay, now we've talked about this previously. That's the vision of the Battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the nations come against Israel, 200 million soldiers. By the way, because of technology, we would think, well, why would they need 200 million people when they have all this technology? Well, the reason is that the technology isn't successful against them.
Mm.
So we know, for example, then therefore what? Well, the nuclear bomb isn't successful. The missiles aren't successful. What they attempt to do isn't successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide, you know what? Let's just go back to old type warfare and march people, because they can march into Israel, no problem.
Right. And they have more people by sheer
and they
numbers.
Have 200 million versus 8 to 10 million in total. They'll have 200 million soldiers. And think of the soldiers in Israel is probably no more than a million.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be outnumbered. And of course, they would be defeated. And that's what they think. But that's when Christ returns, and he says, he does what he says here. He says, I'm going to destroy everybody that comes against him. Mm. And that's what happens in the Battle of Armageddon. And then the millennium starts. Israel is the center of the world again, with Christ physically being on earth. And by the way, we get to be with him.
Mm.
We're raptured and we're brought back with him to occupy during the 1,000 years. But there's a statement in here that he makes, and just read verse 8 again. And we'll catch an interesting word that describes something. Verse 8 in this discussion.
In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them.
Okay, so the Lord will defend Israel. And so what we've observed is that God has already given Israel an incredible capability to be defending itself.
With the Iron Dome.
The Iron Dome, and then they have a new dome coming up. Actually, it's being to handle long-term missiles, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They have an incredible fighting force, as we've demonstrated and seen, where they went into Gaza, they went into Lebanon, went into Syria. They took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished the work, so to speak, at the moment because of how skilled they are. And so they're being defended, and this is kind of cool that, and this helps us understand a lot, because a lot of people say, well, God's going to defend him, and the answer is, yes, he does. Well, the question is how?
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a tendency to think, it'll be some spiritual thing, is that it'll be that, but what he did is give them this incredible technology.
Mm-hmm.
What he did is give this incredible capability so that they have a mighty military. that is the best in the world. For a nation that's only 7-8 million people, they've got the best military in the world and the best defense system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How? God gave it to them. So we know that Israel or Iran is not successful in launching a nuclear weapon. So here we are, literally at this moment where they're saying, they say they have the capability or they're days away or weeks away from having that capability to be able to launch a nuclear weapon against Israel. So that's happening right now in our time.
Okay.
All right. Now, here is the preparation of what the United States and Israel is getting ready to do. And so what we're saying is that we're predicting, I predict that there'll be an action against Israel, or excuse me, against Iran by Israel and the United States to make sure that they don't finish that capability, or because of the threat of what they do, Iran will back down and will guarantee, and they'll have to have some verification that they don't keep developing that weapon. And of course, Israel will know. But here's, I'm just going to give you some facts, and this is all current. This happened just a few days ago.
Excellent. Thanks.
There's two U.S. aircraft carriers being sent to the Middle East right now. So that's happening, you know, right now.
Okay.
There are multiple, you know, like 6 to 10 B-2 bombers that are stationed in the Middle East right now, and they just were sent over. And by the way, B-2 bombers, along with the jets, are what can carry out a military action.
Okay. And where are those stationed, do you know?
It's called Diego Garcia, which is in, I believe it's in Saudi Arabia.
That's what I was wondering.
That they have bombers there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember our conversation with Eric and Rabbi, when they already went in, remember when Iran did an attack against Israel with some missiles?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, they knocked them all down. But because they had missiles coming from Iran, Israel retaliated.
Right.
And when they retaliated, and it was very, and we actually talked about this, about what could they do? It could do A, B, C, D, and they could do these things. Well, what they did is they went in and took out a nuclear facility in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interesting enough, the only reason we knew that is because Eric told us that.
Mm.
Why? The world never reported it. Why? Iran wasn't supposed to have it.
Fascinating.
They are supposed to report all the different facilities they have. Israel knew this one was one that they had, but never reported it. They took it out, and Iran couldn't say what you did because
right,
they weren't supposed to have
it. Because it wasn't supposed to be there to begin with. Interesting, right?
So, but they did, and they took it out. And then two is that they recognize, Israel, that Iran really doesn't have much of a defense system.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very strong offensive system, but not a defense system. So like Israel, as you know, when they get attacked, they can defend against the attack.
Right.
When Israel went in and destroyed that nuclear facility, there wasn't any resistance because they don't have much of a defense system.
Mm-hmm.
So they know if they are going to attack, they can easily go in with great precision without much resistance, which, by the way, may be the deterrent for Iran to say, you know what, let's agree to something else, because if we push this and you attack us, we're gonna be the ones that have negative consequences to
mm-hmm.
that. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually go that far. So the B-12 bombers are over there, and they're ready to be used. Negotiations are happening right now between mm-hmm. Israel, U.S., and Iran. And of course, you know, there's no outcome of that yet, and there's no we're gonna come to some conclusion. But we know that they are talking because Trump is and Netanyahu are making threats.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue the action you have, we're coming after you. So it'd be better to negotiate. So that's happening right now. We'll see what the outcome is going to be. Trump has stated, Netanyahu has stated, if you don't come to a satisfactory conclusion where we can verify that you aren't going to do this nuclear weaponry, it's going to be a bad day for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they probably believe that now.
Right.
Because of what Trump and Netanyahu has done. Netanyahu has said, and this is all happening in this last couple of days, 2 or 3 days. He said publicly, an attack against Iran is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't think they're going to agree to anything that's worthwhile. They're liars and deceivers anyway. So we're going to make sure that they don't get to that capability. And so it's inevitable. And he's making that statement, you know, that's inevitable. And that they're understanding that the United States and Israel believe this is the optimum moment of what's in front of us. And that people from within Iran are reporting to the press that what they understand, that there's going to be an attack in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that from Iran.
Oh, fascinating.
We can expect that there's going to be an attack within a week from now. So all that's current information. And as you look at it and as we understand it and how we are to look at it is, well, we know the end story and we just read mm-hmm. it. Israel is going to be protected.
Right.
We know Iran has a nuclear weapon. Getting close to a nuclear weapon. We know we can almost, well, we can be guaranteed it's not going to be used against Israel,
mm-hmm.
but they want to. So therefore, something's got to happen to stop that from
right.
happening.
And to neutralize that.
To neutralize it. And even if they have a verbal agreement to it, there'll have to be some teeth to it to keep track that if they start moving again in that direction or are trying to deceive everybody, then the attack will take place. So, and then let's go back to what's happening with Hamas and Hezbollah in Syria is Israel has established itself to say, no longer can attack us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the capability at the moment, but we know what your intention is and we know you're going to try to again. So we're going to now get closer with some real information to observe. If you make any attempt toward that again, we're going to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I believe that's going to be the outcome in Iran, is that either they have to go in and attack them and neutralize it and then do it, or if they agree to something, they'll say, well, we are going to be observing you, and if you make any attempt mm-hmm. to move in that direction, we're going to take it out. But whatever happens, we know that Israel right. is destroyed. So it's very current. I would urge everybody to pay attention, let the information flow in of terms of what is happening, and know that it's very, very dynamic right now and does have lots of implications for then what's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
With if Israel establishes a semi-peace, it'll be interesting how long will that last, number one. Number two is that we know the world still comes against them.
Right.
So my question as I'm looking at this is, well, I know the outcome. My question is, what causes the world to come against Israel? Because a lot of the world is kind of for Israel right now, and they're okay with what they're doing, and particularly the United States and some people in Europe, even some of the Sunnis in the Middle East are actually for this because they would like to keep Iran from coming after them.
Mm.
So they like it, what Israel's up to. Something happens that turns the world against Israel. And if we're truly in that time and they have a certain peace, what causes that peace to change and the right. world then to come against them? So that's a question that everybody, you know, starts to evaluate and say, well, I wonder what God will show us about that, because he wants us to be aware of it. And he says, you know, watch what's happening. I'll give you mm-hmm. insight. And by the way, the timing of this, and we're going to talk more about in the future about what's going on with the WEF, and I'll just give you a little heads up. When we had COVID,
mm-hmm.
they came out about 2 to 3 years ahead of that and said, there's likely to be a pandemic from a virus. They said mm-hmm. that. Well, then it happened.
Right.
Okay. They just came out and said, there's likely to be a cyber attack in the next 2 to 3 years, which means probably yes.
Right. Right.
And there's a big implication for that. So things are heating up, and we're gonna keep talking about these things. So the question is, what's the timing of this? What do you want us to understand about this? How do we build our community? And is there any preparation that you want us to be prepared for? So like, for example, if there's a national cyber attack and, mm-hmm. and the grid goes down, we have no computer, we have no access to banks, we may even have trouble with utilities and water. You know, what does that mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to consider. Why? Because it's being talked about.
Right. And not something to go make decisions on your own, of your own logic, but to seek no. God and ask him what he may be calling you to do or your community to do.
Yeah. And right. it's interesting, and we'll just end with this, is that God says, yeah, get ready and be prepared mm-hmm. and understand it. However, he always tells us, don't stop living.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Don't make a decision on your own. But I'll let you know and I'll guide you. Because we also know, this is interesting, this is why I don't think that the rapture is pre-trib. There's lots of evidence we're here during the first part of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we wind up being persecuted. But right. we're here. We don't take the mark of the beast, which is the economic system, and we make it. So we're going to process that. Well, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat that all of this is, in a sense, he said, be very hopeful. And for me, if we happen to be in this time, the thing that I'm most excited about is, guess what? Christ is coming back.
Right.
And we get to be with him in the millennium. How cool is that going to be?
Absolutely.
And all of this is resolved. And we live in a completely different environment because of it, which is a grand environment. I mean, so, and by the way, we're still given the covenant in the middle of it all. So it's a bunch of interesting things, you know,
yeah.
that we keep pursuing.
Even as you say that, I'll just wrap up with this thought. But, you know, it's Good Friday and Easter Sunday is coming. And, you know, we talk about the liminal space all the time between what is and what is promised, and he will return. He will return just like he rose and he said he would rise. And somewhere in the midst of all of this, we all know people who, if he were to come back now, have not accepted him. And so what better time than as we head into Easter weekend to really pay attention and ask God, who do you want me to invest in? Who do you really want me to spend time with and praying for and walking them to the feet of Jesus so they don't miss this moment?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, and I think just that reminder as we go into Easter, it's such an easy time because people are already talking about it, you know, and yep. especially with what's going on in the world, this is the time to share Jesus with your friends, period.
Absolutely. And then, by the way, next Friday, which is usually our End Times Friday, because it is Good Friday, we're going to do an Easter devotion then. So tune in and come back next Friday for us to share our Easter devotion.
Yeah. I think today is Good Friday.
Oh, sorry.
When this
right.
airs is Good Friday.
Yeah,
and so the Easter devotion will have been yesterday.
Okay.
So tune in yesterday.
So we already did it. It's going to be really good too, by the way.
Excellent. So if you missed it, go back to yesterday's episode on the 17th and listen to that Easter devotion.
So instead of Guest Thursday, we're having Resurrection Thursday. So
yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth that you speak out of Zechariah, that Israel is protected. You defend it. You actually defeat everybody that comes against them, and ultimately the world does. And so we know they survive it. We know that it's through your wonderful work of defense that you've already given them. And we just pray that we'll observe more and more and more what that means here in these next weeks and months and years. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, listeners. And thank you, Rich, for bringing the truth to light once again. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.